here, quite different than our normal series of messages. But we are at no certain, it's not a well-known place that we find ourselves at. Our culture has so rapidly turned from truth that those of us that are believers in the Word of God as God's truth for all of life and all of existence, it gets confusing. And so we are going through a series that helps us understand the culture in which we live, number one, but not just so that we can understand, so that we can effectively engage the culture in which we live in. That's where we're headed. We won't make it all the way there yet, but we're working our way through it, hoping and praying that we gain a better understanding so that we will be on solid ground when we dialogue and engage those that are around us that are so lost and in so much in trouble. What is truth? Psalms 86:11 tells us beautiful. It says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. Teach me your way, and I will walk in your truth." That's a critical item. "Unite my heart to fear your name." I'll tell you what, all of us ought to have a very genuine awe for God and what could very likely be right around the corner for a nation that is turned as ours. All we have to do is look at the book of Judges. All we have to do is look at the Jewish nation. All we have to do is look at the Roman Empire. All we have to do is look at the British Empire. Things do not go well when people turn from the God who is the God of the universe. Half of the people we deal with believe in truth is relative. I, for one, do not. God says His word is truth. I'm not talking about relative. God is not a God of confusion. The fact value that Schaefer came up with 50 years ago, split, is assumed in our culture. And what I will explain that a little bit more for those of you that weren't here last week. But the issue that Schaefer was pointing out, he said our nation is headed towards separating fact, which would be scientifically supported, from values which we would hold personally. And what that does is any nation that starts to accept that says that there's no truth in regards to the values like around religion and around morality, around meaning of life. And once you do that, you have walked away from Scripture. Because Scripture says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's what Jesus said Himself. This is that chart that He put together. He was saying that biology, chemistry, genetics, we have that. Our culture is so bought into this. Those are facts, man. Whatever they prove, that's a fact. We can hang our hats on that and trust it forever until next week when another research paper comes out and changes the conclusions. It's amazing how unstable that is. Although I consider myself I have a mechanical engineering degree. I'm a registered mechanical and electrical engineer. I am not without a bias towards science and engineering and those areas. But they are not the only source of fact. Our culture has come around and said religion, God, morals, and meaning. They're just values that you may hold. Everybody kind of holds their own thing, and you can't really know for sure. What's right for you is right for you, but may not be right for me, and I'll have my own values. And they're just adrift. And that's what we're seeing all over the place. What happened to truth in these areas? What happened? They've departed from God is the number one thing. They've departed from anchoring themselves on the Word of God. And the truth is, many who profess to know Jesus Christ, surveys say somewhere over 50% buy in as well, even though they say they're evangelical born-again believers. That no, a lot of this stuff is relevant. It's relative. It is not, you can't know for sure, and you would gain it from more your culture and your upbringing. I'm just telling you, it doesn't line up with the Word of God. And a long, long time ago in my life, I decided I'm anchoring my life on the Word of God. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to his word." Why? Because his word is truth. relativism is driven by an overemphasis on feelings. Now, I changed this from last week because I wanted to be stronger. It's not only an emphasis on feelings, but we are a narcissistic culture. It is a flat-out rejection of the authority of God and God's Word. And you got to just know that. So when you're up against it, just recognize what you're dealing with. The Christian worldview is underpinned by two axioms. It is a beautiful, beautiful, important anchors, pillars that we got to build our life on. But do you know them? Do you know what a worldview that is Christian is anchored in? What are the two items? Well, the first one is God exists. It's not a question. It's not a mystery. He created everything. And He holds everything together. He is absolutely all-powerful. That's the point. And yet our world is going about it like, I don't know, maybe He exists, I'm not certain, He probably is out there, I don't know. Well, my heart goes out for them. I don't know how they handle the ups and downs, and particularly the downs of life in that type of a mindset. That's one truth, and you better know that. You got to anchor it on and just say, all right, I believe that God exists. And number two, that God has spoken to us in His Bible. And therefore, we do have a message from the Creator God of the universe on how to live. That's so critical. He has spoken to these issues that our culture is falling apart over and fistfights about. Morals refer to an individual's determination of right and wrong. Ethics is the corporate determination. I'm trying to get you set up so that I can use those terms later on. This is a review of last week. Listen, we live in a moralistic relativism. Moral relativism is everywhere in our culture. And I'm going to point that out to you. And let me tell you, what you believe has very, very serious consequences. And that's the fearful thought. Let's read this. I'll just read it and follow along. The doctrine that moral rightness and wrongness of actions varies from society to society, and that there are no absolute moral standards binding us to all men on all men at all times. Accordingly, it holds that whether or not it is right for an individual to act in a certain way depends on or is relative to the society which he belongs. Now, that is an accurate definition of moral relativism. But don't you recognize that that just runs right smack in the face of the Word of God? And that's the point. You don't have to wonder when people start to speak in these terms. And all you have to do is turn on Fox News, CNN, watch any movie, watch any video, talk with your neighbors, and you will see that even if they don't recognize that they have 100, almost the majority have bought into this way of looking at life. And it is really, really sad. It's why that in less than a decade, we have collapsed to the point that we have. Truth is telling how it really is. That's so critical. It's reality. Truth is what matches reality. Critical. And so, you may sit there and say, no, I'm not certain if it isn't. Well, I'll tell you what, it is like being a moral relativist in regards to the power of gravity. All you have to do is go up on a tall building and jump off, and you will see that it's not so relative. There'll be a collision with reality. And that is what our culture is doing. It is like it's jumped off the cliff and headed towards the rocks below. By the way, truth is discovered. It is not created. You and I do not have to drum up truth in our mind. The all-wise and omniscient God has put it in place. Our responsibility is to discover it and to understand it and to know our God. Behold your God. i.e. the morning, the other emphasis in the Sunday morning and going forward in the weeks ahead. I listed these before and I added the other two that were there. These are all statements in Scripture about the truth of God. It's everywhere. Scripture reminds us in all sorts of different ways that we are to embrace God's truth. We're to defend God's truth. By the way, sets us free. That's the 10th one. And we have been commanded to pass it on to the next generation. The very thing, you know, we hear about how powerful the one generation was. And it's the greatest generation. I'll tell you what, the greatest generation has failed in passing it on to that next generation. It's a serious, serious flaw. What is truth? That was all a review of last week in about 5 minutes. Now I want to go into some different material. Truth. What is it? Maybe this definition is an expression, symbol, or statement that matches or corresponds to its object or reference. Truth must correspond to reality in order to be true. It's not what you want it. It isn't about your want. It isn't about how you feel. It's about the way it is. Absolute truth, which, by the way, in discussions is probably not the best terminology used, but absolute truth is something true for all people at all times in all places. Scripture speaks a lot about absolute truth, actually. It tells us that it's appointed on a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Can truth be subjective and or objective? Well, absolutely. And we need to understand this if we're going to engage them evangelistically. And so, bear with me. This is not your normal expository message, but it is very, very important that we talk about and think through this. Objective truth. Objective truth, to say that a statement is objectively true, means that it is true for people of all cultures, times, etc., even if they do not know it or recognize it. Objective truth applies to our culture, even though our culture is running from the belief that it does apply. Biblical truth is objective truth. Subjective truth is all over the place. Subjective truth is to say something is subjectively true means that it is true for the person or persons making the judgment, even though it may not be true for others. Now you sit there, that sounds like double talk. It is not double talk, and it is an important thought to start to grapple with so that you can talk with your neighbors and your friends and your other family members that have bought into the way that this culture is thinking. When listening to truth statements, be asking if it is self-refuting. Now, here's what I'm saying. You and I'll tell you one of the things, as much as if we want to see the change that is possible for us this summer, you can't do it in automatic pilot. You cannot engage our culture in automatic pilot. You have got to start turning on the brain and really listen to what they're saying and thinking about what they're saying and be prepared to challenge people in what they're saying, in an appropriate way, and we're going to talk about how to effectively do that. All English sentences are fewer than 4 words. Do you recognize how that statement itself is self-refuting? Why is that? Because it's made a statement that all English sentences are 4 words, and this one has 8. So it doesn't make sense. You know, and people are talking in this way all the time in our culture. And we're not even aware of it. We don't even listen to it. And we feel, oh, I've got to figure out how to defend this or present our arguments. No, I'll tell you what, more than anything, you have to help them recognize how deluded their thinking is. I'll give you another one. No one can know if anything other than scientific facts are true. Why is that self-refuting? Because you cannot put that in a laboratory and prove it. The statement itself cannot be put in the laboratory, so therefore, if the statement is true, that statement can't be true. Now, you understand what I just said? That's self-refuting. Our culture talks back to us like this all the time. And you and I need to start recognizing it, and that's why I'm spending this morning and this several sermons in a row here on trying to engage with our culture. Because we will never be able to effectively evangelize our current culture with the old methodology. The message stays the same, but our approach and connection with them has to catch them where they are. And when you think in such double thoughts, confusing thoughts, self-refuting thoughts, somebody needs to help them see it. Okay, now, I want everybody to grab a pen, and I'm going to give you a list of 12 questions, and I don't want you to look at the guy next to you, and I want you to put a 1 down and then put objective, and just put an O next to it. And then 1, if you think, no, this is a subjective statement, then put an S next to it. And I want you just to do it yourself. Okay, you get what I'm asking you to do? The car pictured is blue. Is that an objective or a subjective sense statement? 2, red is the red is the color of the most attractive cars. Is that subjective or objective? 1 meter is 39.37 inches. Is that objective or subjective? 5 President Andrew Jackson was the 5th president of the United States. Is that an objective or subjective statement? Caribbean cruises make the best vacations. Is that objective or subjective? 6. 2 + 4 = 7. Is that subjective or objective? 7. God exists. Is that subjective or objective? Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. Is that subjective or objective? Keep with me. Keep grading yourself. This is going to be important. There is only one God, Allah, and Muhammad is God's messenger. Is that subjective or objective? 6. Before and outside of marriage is okay. Is that objective or subjective? The raping of war prisoners is wrong. Is that subjective or objective? And the last one. Buddha authored the path to end suffering known as the Noble Eightfold Path. Subjective or objective? Okay, now I'm going to give you some answers here. The car pictured is blue. Is that objective or subjective? Okay, see, right there. You see what the climate... No one wants to take a commitment on this. The truth is, the car is blue. I mean, we can all see it. I pictured a blue car. I didn't picture a green car. I'm colorblind, and I chose a color that I could still distinguish. So someone in here may not be able to see it. But the majority of us know that that is an objective statement. It just is, it is reality. See the point? It is reality. That is, okay? Red is the color of the most attractive cars. Is that? It's subjective because I say it. It's all about my personal observation or opinions. But is that reality? No, because some people hate red cars. Do they not? They say, listen, I don't ever want to own a red car. I know people that say that. I don't really ever give a whip about what color the car is. I kind of look to see what the quality of the body is in, and the engine may be more significant to me personally. But a meter is 39.37 inches, and I notice a lot of people hesitated. And you probably hesitated because you said, well, I don't remember for sure if it was 39 and 3/7. But the point is, whether it would have been 39.7 or if I would have written down 49.37, it's still an objective. There is a fact. There's a reality to this. The statement is a reality statement. It may be true or false. It may not have stated it properly, but it is known. There's a reality to this. So it's objective. Now, this was very much a trick question, because here's the point. He is not the fifth president. He is the seventh president. Now, I didn't know it either, to be very honest with you. I didn't know that. I thought he was the fifth, and that's why I got the fifth up there. And I looked it up, and I said, no, he's the seventh. And I said, perfect, I'm leaving it. Because that's a known reality. So it's objective. Okay, it is truth. It's reality. It's known outside of the person. Caribbean cruises make the best vacations. Which is it? It's subjective, because it's, I may feel that way, but you may say, I don't like to be on a boat. That obviously wouldn't be the best vacation for you, so it's subjective to the individual. 2 + 4, I saw a lot of people struggle with this one, is 7. Is that objective or subjective? It is definitely objective, but it's wrong. But see, you understand the difference? Now, you've got to start thinking in these terms. What is reality? Is it a statement about reality? Whether it's right or wrong, is it a statement about reality? Now I entered the going. I didn't come up with this, by the way. Stand for Reason or Image 360. They're both apologetic websites. Both use this concept to cause us to think further than we normally think. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 go into another realm. You know what they are really doing? They're going into that value section. They're going into that value section of God and religion. And so we struggle a little more with that, but we shouldn't. We only struggle because we have been greatly impacted by the culture in which we live. Does God exist? I absolutely am convinced God exists. I hope you are too. I trust you are. So it's objective. Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. Neither is there salvation any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. And the point is, Scripture says it is that way. That's an objective truth based on the discovered truth in the Word of God. It's objective. There is only one God, Allah. And that Muhammad is God's messenger. Is that an objective or subjective statement? It's objective. We can know this because the Word of God reveals it. Do you understand the challenge here? It is not about someone's feeling. It either is true or it's not true based on reality. It makes it an objective truth. Now, if we're going to witness to people that are caught up in thinking, we need to understand what we're dealing with here. Sex before and outside of marriage is okay. Is that an objective or subjective statement? Well, no, it isn't defined okay. It doesn't change it. It is either right or wrong. Now, it turns out to be absolutely contrary to the Word of God, but it isn't dependent on how you feel about it. It's either right or wrong. That is wrong. It is an objective truth. They have just misunderstood the truth. So we're dealing with an objective truth. I hope I'm getting there with you guys. I'm not certain I am. But raping of war prisoners is wrong. It's objective and it is true. That is a wrong thing. That's morally wrong. Buddha authored these. Do you know what the answer is? First of all, it clearly can be known. All you have to do is get on the website and you would, you know, search it in Google and you would see, yes, there they are. And actually, they're very fascinating to read. It's objective. He is the author of them. I'm not saying that what he authored is the best way to form your life. It isn't. But it's still an objective truth. It's reality. He did do this. Can truth be subjective and objective? Yes. But you've got to ask yourself, does it connect or is it based on my personal opinion? Do I like red cars? That's a subjective situation. I think that blue car is the absolute best color for any car. Well, that's very subjective because that's my opinion. I think living in America is the best country in the world. That's subjective because I'll tell you what, you can find many other people living in other parts of the world that say, you're crazy. Why would I want to live in America? More would want to be here than not, though. Truth is telling how it really is. Truth matches reality. And it is discovered, not created by us. God revealed it. Does it matter if a society loses its ability to know real truth? It matters a whole lot. I'm going to give you an example from history. History is a good thing to learn. That's one of the reasons why knowing God is so exciting, knowing your God series, is because we're going to be taught some church history in the process. And you'll see how God has used these biblical truths in the lives of others and how they have responded biblically and phenomenally impacted the world. The morality of mankind choosing right and wrong is based on mankind's concept of truth. Now, I'm going into a particular example. When we examine the Holocaust and the question of wrongness and the rightness of the events, we are confronted with a basis for what makes wrong and what makes right. That's going on today. You understand that? Nations are denying the Holocaust. Nations that we are very warmly supporting deny the Holocaust. But is that did the Holocaust happen or didn't it? Well, it is an objective truth that it happened. You can go over and see the places physically, if you have any doubt. You can even still talk to people that lived it. It happened. What makes Hitler's Nazi Germany wrong in wanting to conquer the world and kill innocent people in the process? That was the issue of the trials. They had to determine that before they went to trial. On what basis? The basis of truth used by the Germans were the Darwinian principles of survival of the fittest. Now, I am reasonably comfortable. I haven't read a lot of Darwin, but being an engineer, and when I was struggling to become a Christian, whether I wanted to accept it, creation and evolution was a major challenge for me, a stumbling block for a period of time. So I read more of Darwin than I ever would want to remember, actually. But I never saw in his writings a desire to become a crazy, mad, horrible individual like Hitler. But you better be careful about the truth you embrace because it has consequences. Now, I'm going to, this is a quote. I could paraphrase it, but I'm going to read it because this is a translation of the German quote by Hitler. Listen to the impact of truth. The stronger must dominate and not mate with the weaker, which would signify the sacrifice of its own higher nature. Only the born weaklings can look upon the principle as cruel, and if it does so, it is merely because he is of a feeble nature and narrow mind. For if such a law did not direct the process of evolution, then the higher development of an organic life would not be conceivable at all. If nature does not wish that weaker individuals... By the way, those three dots are not because I switched slides, actually, because I dropped out a major portion of this quote, just to make my point. If nature does not wish that the weaker individuals should mate which with stronger, she wishes even less that a superior race would intermingle with an inferior one, because in such a case all of her efforts throughout hundreds of thousands of years to establish an evolutionary higher stage of being may thus be rendered futile. Do you understand what he was saying? He bought in to a false truth and then chose to live it out. And what we are doing right now is living in a culture that has denied the existence of God and is being true to what they believe is truth. That's what moral relativism is. And it is phenomenally dangerous. And it is particularly challenging to witness to someone who's bought into this. No truth, knowing truth, matters. I'm going to play a brief video.
So do you believe that there are definite rights and wrongs, like morally, that like apply to everyone across the board?
We choose what's right and wrong.
Absolute truth versus relative truth. Because I don't really believe that there is an absolute truth. Everything is relative.
I do think that there are moral stances that are more or less objective in the sense that it does apply to everyone and everyone should adhere to it if possible.
There is no real time when it's okay for me to just walk up and push you into that camera and just break all your stuff and leave. But if, say, I saw you steal that woman's purse, it would be perfectly acceptable for me to just chase you down and tackle you. If you didn't do that, that would be illegal and I could be arrested. But you stole her purse, so I can take you down.
The absolute truth is what everyone wants it to be. Everyone thinks it is.
So do you think that there are certain behaviors that are right and wrong?
I feel like the rights and wrongs kind of come from society. Everybody kind of has a cliche norm that, you know, everybody's, you know, expects to kind of uphold.
I think it's like how you feel. Like if you do something and it feels wrong, that's probably wrong. You shouldn't do it.
I think there's just a standard way, just as humans, just as Americans, you know, in different cultures it may be differently because they handle, you know, crime and things differently than we do here in America. But I think as far as your culture and stuff, I think it's a pretty standard. Some things are more black and white than others. Again, it's more of a social thing.
I think everyone creates their own because a lot of things that we do here are, like, wrong in other places. And at the same time, some things that I personally may not agree with that you might agree with or other people who live here would agree with. So it really depends on the person and where they grew up at.
What's right or wrong differs on a person-to-person basis, really.
We get our sense of right and wrong from our socialization, culture, what people tell us is right and wrong. There are times when the right thing to do is not the best thing to do.
I definitely believe that everyone creates their own standard for themselves.
I mean, I'm sure like everybody would have like a set of laws in their religion that they would follow.
I don't necessarily think that there's something outside of society that you can look to because it's kind of hard to remove yourself from any given society.
If say we have 10 people and 9 out of 10 agree that something is wrong, that's going to be wrong. Even if that one person doesn't agree, that's the majority of votes.
You understand? They have bought into this concept that their values are determined by their own observations. There's no objective truth involved. Now, when you listen to those video clips, we'll hear more of them as we move along in this series. Ask yourself, how would you witness? What these are is excerpts from people witnessing on a college campus. They are not staged. They're not actors. And if you want to have the same conversation, just go out and start talking to people that are living the life. Now, this is not considered a conservative man. Politically, he's not looked at least it isn't from my perspective. You understand who he is, right? The Prime Minister of Great Britain. Notice what he says. This is really stunning when it comes from a person who has very liberal political leanings. Listen to the statement. Moral neutrality, this relativism, is not going to cut it anymore. Politicians shying away from speaking the truth about morality has actually helped to cause the social problems we see around us. we have been too unwilling for too long to talk about what is right and what is wrong. We have to often avoid saying what needs to be said about everything from marriage to welfare to common courtesy. By the way, he is right on the money here. You know, who should be challenging the culture in which we live? That is the role of us as believers. Now, I'm going to share with you how to do this effectively, because if you did this in the wrong way, you're liable to get shot in North Minneapolis. But you can do this effectively. And every one of us can, if we just learn a couple approaches. You know what? They can say that it's all values and depends on culture and all this other thing, but you know what? Every human being, there is a sense within them, God placed in them, about what is right and what's wrong. You know, it is always right to be kind. Aren't you blessed when people are kind? I was so blessed just yesterday when I saw my one grandson and granddaughter. They're both five right now. For another 3 days, they're 11 months apart. So, which really bugs the older brother. Let me tell you, he does not like this idea that they're both five, and he's liberated from that on Tuesday. But at any rate, watching them interact graciously and kindly with one another, and being genuinely concerned. Zoe had her birthday and received a gift from us, and it was this little fuzzy dog. Fufu, I think, is the dog's name, and it has a little case. And so they were playing, and Tony decided that he would be the dog's dad. And so they were telling me that they were playing this way, and she was saying, I am the mother of the dog, and I am going to care for the needs of the dog. Tony is the dad, and he is going to protect it from the other dogs in the neighborhood. You know what? I said, you know, there's a lot of issues. You're dealing with five-year-olds. So, you know, you just sit there and say, this is hilarious, but I'm not going to laugh. I'm going to just sit there and nod and join in. But kindness, compassion touches our hearts. Does it not? In the same way, there's a lot of wrong. That, you know what? There's stuff that's going on that is being said and taught to us. We are well on our way to having just ugly things promoted as okay. Because I just felt like it. I was driven. This is the way God made me or whatever. Physical abuse. They deserved it. Holocaust. What they did to those people. Shouldn't be. One human being should have never done any other. And it isn't the only example. China and Africa have their own horrific Holocaust. Pornography. Human trafficking. Rape. You know what? I honestly believe all of us in here can agree that the two on the right side are right and the other ones are wrong. Can we not? Why? Because her heart says, that's wrong. No one ought to do that to a little girl. You know, you just want to grab whoever did it and do something to them. That's how deeply we feel these things. Romans chapter 2 tells us, for when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves and their thoughts, accusing or else excusing them. You know what that passage in Romans is saying? God has put in our hearts an awareness of right and wrong. Now, you can shear your conscience in this thing, but you start with God having planted some truth there. Our culture has walked from it. Truth is based on reality, and it is for us to discover it. Psalms 119, and I'm closing now. The entirety of your word is truth. The word entirety. Think about that a second. All of it is truth. The tragedy is many who profess to know Jesus Christ personally aren't serious students of the Word, i.e. our summer emphasis. And every one of your righteous judgments endure forever. God is going to write this garbage. He has done it in history. Look at the end of Judges. John chapter 17 says, "Sanctify them by your truth." That's our command. We are to help them be set apart by what? Truth. Your word is truth. Talking about the gospel. Talking about the word of God. How it ministers to lives and hearts. But we need to effectively deliver it. And the beautiful truth is, truth shall make you free. You accept to, I'm not talking about partially, picking and choosing. Our culture is all about that in many cases. But I'm saying giving your all to the Lord and saying whatever your word says, that I am doing. I'm going to do my level best to understand it in its proper context, and I'm going to apply it biblically with all of my heart. And I'll tell you what, you'll be set free. You will not necessarily be taken out of your difficult circumstances, but you will be given a peace that passes all understanding in the midst of your circumstances. I would like you to close your eyes. Maybe, Jeremy, you can move to the piano. Father, my prayer is that each one of us would look at our own thought processes and do an inventory where we have allowed the world's thinking to creep into the way we look at life. Help us to be absolutely anchored on a Christian worldview that you truly exist because you do. And that you have spoken to us in your word, which we are to take seriously, live it, share it, follow it. Father, I suspect there are some in here that have said they're Christians, but know right now that they're a long ways from where you want them to be. Father, do a work. Bring them to repentance. Father, you've told us that if we will confess with our mouths, if we will confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. So, Father, if there be believers here that have gotten off track, I pray that they would turn to you right now and ask for forgiveness. And accept it, Father. And for those that may be here that are without Jesus Christ, may they recognize that it starts in humbly coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing your sins, believing that He truly is the Son of God who died and rose again, paying the price for our sins, and calling upon Him to be your personal, having Jesus Christ become their personal Savior. Father, do a work. May we not have gathered this morning in vain. Lord, help us to be individuals that are desiring to be conformed to the image of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.